Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I'm frustrated. I'm in a shitty mood. This fucking looks like construction all over the place. Feidelberg's here from Barstool, who's doing this, like, you know, insane, what, two nights?
Two nights at the Wilbur, yeah.
At the Wilbur. So we're going to, by the time this is run, it'll already be done. Both sold out.
Both, there's like 50 left for the second, for Saturday night.
How
right
many
now.
Seats are there at the Wilbur?
I want to say it was around 1,000, give or take.
And you sold out, basically, but you'll have sold out too.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're doing your podcast.
It's just the podcast.
So it's like this, but there's 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Who wants to go see that?
I have no idea.
With all due respect, I like your podcast.
I totally understand.
I listen to your podcast, so you're just going to do your podcast.
Yeah. We had like a couple extra things kind of thrown in.
Like what?
But just like essentially this is the podcast. Just like a throwback, just like segments of, we have like celebrity call-in videos, but it's still more or less it's the podcast.
Okay. And what is the podcast? I'm sure most of my podcast listeners listen to yours, but what is your podcast?
It's KFC Radio.
Yep.
How you describe it would be tough. It's kind of just it's weird questions. It's would you rather. It's hypotheticals, and then a lot of just like, I guess, advice. I don't know why you'd ever take advice from us, but people calling in like, yo, my girlfriend did this. What do I do? A lot of girls call in, actually.
A lot of ladies like the show.
Very surprising amount of ladies.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, would you rather? What do you mean? Like what? Give me one.
It's evolved since, but it used to be, you know, would you rather have penises on your nipples or your fingers.
And people will pay money to attend you talking about this in person.
It's evolved.
Does it strike you as strange that people are doing this?
Kurt, it strikes me as very strange. I assure you. I'm very self-aware of how wild it is.
Right.
But people do like it. Yeah, I don't know why.
Every time I'm on iTunes, I have to fucking scroll all the way down to mine. Yours is like always in the top. Barstool is a runaway train right now.
It's
a runaway train. How long have you been at Barstool for?
7 years.
How did you wind up there?
Well, it started when I was 21.
Yep.
I applied for an internship with Portnoy in Boston.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. I was one of the finalists, but I didn't get it.
Where'd you grow up?
Fall River, Massachusetts.
Okay, yeah.
And then I moved to New York, kind of in like that fucking classic, like, go find myself bullshit.
Right.
And while I was there, Barstool New York had started, so I emailed them and I said, you know, I'd like to intern. Got that job, interned for like 3 months, and then I was going to be done with it after that, but they agreed to start paying me, I believe, $600 a month, give or take, in New York City.
Where were you living?
I was living in New York. I was living on a friend's couch in the Upper East Side.
Okay.
And so I did that for like another 6 or 7 months, and intermittently Portnoy would call me and be like, I just can't afford to pay you this month.
Really?
Yeah. And I offered to work for free for those months, and he would get me back. He was good with that. And then it evolved to me coming back to Boston and writing up here. And now we're back in New York.
But so you're in New York now.
Yeah, we've come full circle with it.
What is your job?
Job is...
What do you do every day? I mean, I know the answer to this question because I follow you and Barstool and everything, but what do you do? Where do you do it? Do you go into the office?
I go into the office, but it's really kind of a come as you will. I go in, because I wake up, I blog, first thing I do, and then once I have enough time to commute,
right.
then I'll head over to the office.
Yeah.
And we hang there. We're there, I'd say on a typical day, there from like 11 to 11.
You right.
take 11 till like after the games are over.
Well, at some point though, you're going to be 34 or 35. You're probably going to want to get married, right? And have kids. What are you going to do then? Then you just leave? You can't be some guy with two kids.
We've grown to the point where it's not as scary a company.
No, I know that. I know that. But you can't work 11 to 11. And, you know, do you think about that?
Oh, no. I do think about that. Well, like, we have KFC, who's obviously the head of our podcast. He's got a kid.
Right.
And he does. He works the office as more of a 9-to-5, but he can still work from home.
You don't ever want to leave. What else could you do?
Leave Barstool?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
What are you equipped to do other than that?
Nothing at all. I'm barely equipped to do this.
You're just born to be a Barstool.
Barely,
right?
Yeah.
How has the last year been? How has it been now that you're sort of corporatized?
It's been
Is it any different?
No, it's not. Which is both a blessing and a curse.
Like, why is it a curse?
It would be nice to have a little more structure.
Really?
We still have
like what?
None
like,
whatsoever.
What do you mean? Like, why is it? Where do you need it?
We need it in just still in the blog posting. I think everyone. It's still kind of everyone does what they want.
Can you post whatever you want?
Whenever.
So you have no Portnoy. Who's your boss? Who do you report to? Portnoy is not. I know he's your boss in a way, but you don't. Is there anybody you report to?
There's no one I report to directly.
So you're just on your own.
Yeah,
more or less. Do you post your own shit yourself?
Post it. No one edits it.
Your own headlines, no editing, your own video, anything. So, like, what did you post anything today or no?
Today, yeah. I did something quick before we came in.
What was that?
I did Belichick's press conference, which was just very, very, very quick. Just he said, you know, he doesn't know what advanced stats are.
Right.
And then I did Isla Fisher said there's a Wedding Crashers 2 coming. So just. Two
big day,
yeah,
big day.
The clicks are flying. Can't wait to check
out. Well, but I will say that's one thing about you guys. You guys do great. That I think we've tried to do as well is you figure out what people are going to click. I mean, people are gonna. There's certain things you know when you write it, like you just said, no one's gonna read it. And other things you know are gonna get read, right? I mean, when you see a story, you're like, this is gonna be gold.
We're good with that, but it's. Not in the BuzzFeed sense. Like BuzzFeed shit's so fucking boring.
Right,
they have
like
formulas to figure out what's going to click it. We just kind of fucking.
They have headline generating stuff too, right?
Right. And we just put up, you know, we're just good at knowing what people like just with our own minds. Like, I like this. People will like this.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say it's not the formulaic fucking classic way.
What surprised me, Portnoy was my first guest like a year ago. And I said, what surprised me is that like Barstool has done what is really difficult to do, which is flipped its audience over. Like, you know, Barstool's audience, I started reading Barstool, like, you know, it was physically in my hands. But the audience now is younger than it was then. Like, you know, older guys still like it, but it is totally flipped over to the younger generation. But Portnoy is old. I mean,
old as shit.
He's an old fucker. Like, I don't know how he's managed to do it. Or you guys have managed to do it. I mean, it's like you guys have sat around and figured out. It's like you sat around and planned it, right?
No, that's the problem. I guess that's what we could use some more.
Well, I don't know. It's working.
It's working as it is. But yeah, no, we never sit around and plan a fucking thing. So we've been really, really lucky the whole way. I don't know how we flipped it. I don't know how 15-year-olds level with Portnoy, but somehow they do. He's got his Go Prez Go Salt of the Earth guys that are always tweeting pictures at him who are, I mean, at max, they're mid-puberty.
Well, how does that happen?
I don't know. I really don't.
Who's a typical Feidelberg fan? Are you
no
comfortable
one.
Calling people fans?
I would say no one.
But really. You know what I mean. Who's the typical follower? At the show tomorrow night, if I go to the show tomorrow night or Saturday night, Friday or Saturday, who's going to be there?
I would say.
Guys my age? Guys younger?
I'd say
shitheads
younger.
Shitheads?
I'd say no, I wouldn't say shitheads, actually. I'd say that's the Portnoy crowd. I'm going to put those on him.
Those are the shitheads.
Yeah.
Okay, your crowd's the more educated,
erudite
crowd?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
I'd say you're probably going to run into. I think you're going to go mid-20s to mid-30s with some sprinkling of just college agent.
What made you think of doing this?
This was all KFC's idea. This was KFC was first on the podcast train.
Right.
He's been pushing this for about 4 years now. And Portnoy.
Portnoy told me during one. He was on. So just for edification sake, we're taping this on Friday, the day Portnoy was on with me and Jerry. And one of the breaks we were talking about the podcast, and he said that's one of the things he blew. He said he should have figured out podcasts.
Blew it
a few
huge.
Years before. Yeah, it sounds like it.
We've been doing this. This is going to be like our 194th episode, give
you
or take.
Do a couple of weeks,
something
right?
Something like that. No, we just do one a week.
One
KFC
week.
Radio is just one a week.
So it's been about 4 years now, though.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And we've been trying to get him to push it and get on it. He wasn't interested for 3.5 years. And then with the Churnin acquisition, Churnin was like, stop being a fucking idiot, make podcasts. And now everyone at the company has a podcast. Some do better than others, but everyone's got one now.
Yeah, but they're all doing pretty well, aren't they?
They're all doing pretty well, yeah. I mean, there's some that are like Part of My Take is
it's massive.
It's a fucking rocket ship.
Part of My
it's
Take
insane.
Is the one where that's like the Van Pelt one where Tiger Woods was on. Is that the right one?
Yeah,
okay.
That's Big Cat, PFT Commenter,
and why is
and
that
Hank.
Doing so well?
They're three. They have unbelievable chemistry, those three.
Right.
And they're just, they're all very, very smart.
What do you think of Portnoy's podcast?
I haven't listened.
You've never listened to it? You haven't listened once? Why not?
You fucking put me on the spot.
Why not?
I don't listen to podcasts generally.
So you don't listen to any podcasts?
Not really.
You listen to my podcast.
Yours is actually one I've listened to a few of. So I'm not gonna say I listen to it regularly.
You're lying.
But it's one of the. No, it is.
No,
I listen.
It's okay.
But I don't understand when people have time to listen to podcasts.
Well, do you run?
Do I look like I run?
You don't look like you run. Do you, how do you get to work? Train?
Walk. It's like a 10-minute walk. And I kind of like with podcasts, I'm kind of like with a book. Like if I can't sit down and read it for an hour and a half, read a bunch of chapters, I'm not going to bother a couple pages.
No plane flights?
I'm a music guy.
You're a music guy. Okay. Yeah. I'm a big podcast guy. So I listen to all these. I think Portnoy would admit he's not putting all of his effort into this podcast.
I think he'll certainly admit that.
Thursday. Let's get this thing up. I mean, he's one thing he'll be is honest about it, I think. Do you like working for him? Do you, like I said before, does it feel like you're working for him?
It feels like it less nowadays. It used to.
Was he an asshole ever as a boss?
Yeah, of course he was an asshole. I mean, you've like met the guy.
Well, yeah, but there's assholes and there's assholes.
He's an asshole who, you know, he lets you do your own thing, and he's good with that. But he's, if you've read him or listened to him, you know Portnoy is the classic narcissist.
Sure.
So he's all he'll take a lot of credit. He won't give any. He's a dick. He's a fine boss. I always said that. He's a fine boss.
Did you make any money in this merger?
I did not. No.
Not a penny.
No.
Did that frustrate you?
No.
No.
No, not really.
Are you making a lot more money than you were like a year or two ago?
No, I'm making the same.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't get a raise at all?
No.
Is it a good living?
It's a fine living.
Do you get money from the podcast?
Nope.
So you're doing the podcast for free?
Yes.
You must be making money off this thing, though.
Nope.
What do you mean, no?
No, we don't make any money off this.
Off the
show?
Who's making money off it?
I don't know. Portnoy, I guess.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you want to be my agent?
Stupid?
You're opening a lot of doors right now.
What's wrong with you? You're doing this for free, just for laughs?
Yeah, it's fun, man. It's fun.
But you can also make a couple of dollars.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's something.
$40 a head, right?
I'll tell you what. If Portnoy's still out there after this, he's going to be fucking pissed at you.
He's gone. $40 a head, he told me, Portnoy. By the way, Portnoy knows how much money this thing costs, so he's...
40, I have no idea.
$40 a ticket, he told me.
Yeah. That makes sense, but I really don't know.
1,200 seats, he told me. $40 a head. The Wilbur probably gets half. Do the math. The fuck are you doing? You make 10 or 15 grand easy off that. I'm here for you. You know, yeah. We don't know each other that well, but I like you. I'm going to look out for you. I'll talk to Portnoy about
that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, this is the way you go through life.
See, this is
fucking head in the sand.
Well, Portnoy will tell you, he's like, you don't deserve it. You don't. That's where
Why?
The boss
what do you
comes
mean?
In.
Explain this conversation. So let's say that you say to him, listen, I just was talking to Minhan on the podcast. You know, I just realized I'm not getting paid for this. Like, you know, did you pay for your own hotel room last night?
No, hotel. They're real nice.
Gas, everything like that is good.
Yeah. Well, we drove the U-Haul up. We did the set work.
Oh, I saw the pictures.
We drove
the
whole set up.
Yeah, right. I saw the whole thing. So you say to Dave, you know, I mean, Dave, what the fuck? Like, you know, okay, you're the boss, but without us, this wouldn't be going on. What would he say? He'd say you're not worth
it. He would say without him, it wouldn't be going on.
Okay, but then I would say, Dave, if your parents didn't have sex, you wouldn't be here. Are we going to pay them and then their parents? Like, at what point do I get compensated?
That's where your reasonable mind would go. That's not what Dave has. That's not what Dave works with, which is where the tough boss comes in. But again, he's a fine boss, but that's where the conversations get tough.
I don't mean to create any controversy here, God knows, but, you know, that seems a little strange to me. Jesus. Have you done these other shows anywhere else?
We did it at Caroline's this summer, which is a smaller comedy club.
In New York.
We did two shows in one night. So that ended up being about 700 people.
Both sold out,
yeah.
700 people.
Give or take,
$40 a head.
Nah, I think that was cheaper. I want to say that was probably 25, 30.
Do you have any plan in the future?
That is in the works.
No, you say no, not until I renegotiate my deal. That's what you're supposed to say. What the fuck? I mean, do I have to walk you through this? God. Jesus. But you're having a good time. You're enjoying this sort of...
I am, which I guess is the problem with those conversations.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm having a blast. I love it. And it's not like I'm out on the street begging, so I don't even really think about that stuff.
And tomorrow is Saturday, which means it's for the bros, right? Whatever that goddamn thing.
Yeah.
What was that? What'd you say?
Nothing. Explain
this to me. This is when I feel like I'm 75 years old. Right. I look at these things, and I'm like, I like these guys. I get along great with Portnoy. And I look at this, and I say, I am totally missing this. Explain this to me. That's not. I have the wrong term, right?
No, it's sad for the boys.
For the boys.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's
all over the place.
It's fucking wild, man. It's like I was down in Tallahassee for the we had the Natty tour down there, and I flew down to go to FSU Clemson.
Right.
And more people down there were like, whoa, you work for Saturdays for the Boys than you work for Barstool. That's a lot. Right. That's more well-known in a lot of places.
You are actually, they just know the phrase itself.
They know it's the phrase itself. Right. That's it. They have no idea the origin. They just right, know that right. like this phrase out there exists.
Well, what, I mean, why is this such an impressive phrase?
I have no idea.
How did it start?
It was a guy in a bar said it, and I just tweeted it. It was like an old sailor in a bar, and I just tweeted it. That's all right. I said. And I woke up in the morning, and it had like thousands of retweets and thousands of favorites, and I just thought, oh shit, like this is a thing, I guess. I thought it was cool when I heard it. I certainly had no idea the legs it had.
Pornoy said it's the most marketable. The shirt is sold more than anything else ever in Barstool.
That's
what you told me during the break today. You know what I'm going to ask you now.
You know what the answer is going to be now.
Do you have a cut in that?
No.
You are really not one of the brightest people I've dealt with from a business perspective. No. You must have grown up with money.
Well, it's tough to with things like that. It's so hard to like know what it's going to be.
Yeah,
so,
but
like,
you know like, now what it is.
Now I know what it is, but Portnoy doesn't do retroactive.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's not working. Right? You fucked up.
Right. So it's like every T-shirt I've ever made, I'm not like I get a cut because that's not how it works.
Right.
So you know if things blew up, you'd maybe hope you get a little something. But we'll talk about all this at the negotiation table. You'll be there with me.
Do you feel like you kind of have to be this Saturdays for the Boys guy now sometimes?
Oh, definitely.
Does that annoy you?
It can be tough. I mean, especially this summer was like every fucking Saturday, if I wasn't up at 8 a.m. retweeting GIFs and shit, people would be like pissed at me for that shit.
Right.
I was like, dude, it's 8 a.m. on a Saturday in the summer. It is slowed down. It comes and goes. There was like last weekend was a little slow. 2 weekends before it was a fucking monster weekend. So right. It kind of comes and goes.
What's the next big thing at Barstool? What's the next ideas? What's going on there? I'm always curious about that place because the place looks like it's a lot of fun. And like Callahan said today, it looks like, you know, in Big when Tom Hanks was like, you know, an adult.
That's exactly what it is. The people in our building who they'll kind of see a quick glimpse when the elevator's open and we get off on our floor.
Yeah.
They say, you know, they'll say, what is this place? It looks like a place for old kids.
Right.
And that's exactly what it
is. Does Portnoy's dream of an Adderall gumball machine, has that happened yet or no?
Not yet. It's my dream too, though.
It should be. Yeah. I would definitely. What do you do all day while you're there? You're there 12 hours a day, you said.
Give or take. I mean, that's not every day. But
okay,
it's
but whatever.
Like on like a Monday night with football, Thursday night, the World Series is on. Yeah. We're usually there till about midnight one. If there's a big game on, everyone will stay and watch.
And you are a diehard Patriots fan.
I am a diehard Patriots fan.
You hate, like I do, Bart Hubbock, who was a guest in this podcast. We had quite a back and forth.
I hate that guy so much. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. He's a troll. But like I don't even follow him. But it's just some days he'll pop up my timeline and it'll get me fucking through the roof again.
Well, you combine with me and Katie Nolan, I think, that day, too. I'm still not sure what happened to him.
Me neither. And I don't even remember what he did. What did he do that day?
He said something. I forget what it was. Jesus, I don't remember what it was. It was over the summer, right?
I had a feeling this was going to come up, and I was trying to remember
what
exactly
it was?
He did.
And maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. It was about Brissett and the black quarterback.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly, yep.
And something about how the Patriots were racist because they had never played started a black quarterback? Is
100%,
that right?
Yep.
And the whole thing blew up on him, and I think he got suspended for a couple of days, and they took his Twitter account away. I've never been able to verify that. But I had all the listeners and Twitter followers contact the New York Post Sports. So, you know, you do the whole dumb thing. And he actually wound up sending a letter threatening to sue me if we didn't back down. This tough guy did this whole thing. He sent this letter out, and, you know, obviously it was never gonna happen.
Did he
But
really?
I love guys like that. And you've probably found that out, too, is these mainstream media guys can't handle the heat.
Not at all.
You know, they can't.
It's something new to them because they've been doing it for so long where it's just like if you were really pissed at them, you have to write a letter. And no one's got the fucking time or energy to write a letter.
Right.
But like with social media now, it's like if I'm pissed at you, I'm going to tell you right now.
It's immediate.
And it's easy. It's right. easy access, which can be tough sometimes. But Hubbock's probably been writing for what, 30 years?
Yeah, 25, 30 years.
And
like that,
no one's ever fucking contacted him because no one cares to write a letter about Hubbock.
Have you made any other enemies in the media?
I don't think I have. I'm not like Portnoy. I'm a little more even keel. I don't really get run as hot as he does often.
Were you in jail that day?
I was in jail that day,
right,
yeah.
I thought you were.
Yeah.
How was that? Portnoy said it was a tough day.
That was a wild day. That was a tough day.
Did you know going in you were going to wind up in jail?
Yes. Yeah, that was the goal, really.
That was the goal?
Yeah.
That was the goal?
Yeah. I called because I was going to Jamaica the next weekend. So I called my uncle, who's a lawyer, and I was like, hey, like hypothetically, if I get arrested tonight, I'm like, can I still go? You know, I don't know shit about the law. I'm
sure,
like,
I don't either. Right?
I was like, am I going to have to stay here or whatnot? And he was like, I would really suggest another form of protest other than intentionally getting arrested. But it worked out. I still went to Jamaica. We spent the night in the jail with Diaper Boy, who was the craziest dude I've ever met in my life.
Who was Diaper Boy?
I don't know. I never saw him. He was just in the cell next to us. There was a wall, but we could hear him all night just going, I'm the Diaper Boy. I'm covered in rashes.
So you were overnight, right? How long were you there for?
We were there for way too long. I want to say around 2 p.m. until I think we had a court. Our court date was around 9 a.m. the next day.
And what happened in court? Just tossed?
Yeah, it was. The judge laughed at us, and then it was 6 months. No, probation? If you don't get arrested again, it's gone off your record.
So it's gone now?
Yeah.
So congratulations. You're a free citizen.
Yeah, so
you actually worried during those 6 months?
No, fuck no.
You never know.
I should have. No, I definitely should have been.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I should have been worried, but no, I never even considered it or thought of it.
Jesus. So how long are these shows tonight? Or, you know, how long are these shows going to be? Just an hour?
I'll probably run about an hour, hour and a half.
That seems like not long enough bang for the buck for these people. They come into Boston.
Kurt, take it easy.
I'm just saying.
Well, I guess they already bought the fucking tickets.
Yeah, I'm just saying, right, we're done. It already have happened. You're not going to give them a little more? 2 hours? A little entertainment?
Well, like, we think about like a stand-up set. Stand-up sets are about an hour. We'll have an opener. Portner's going to open.
I heard that. He told me
then,
that. Yeah.
And then we'll probably run a little over an hour. So all things considered, it'll be like hour 30, hour 45.
What do you think? What other websites do you go to? You know, what websites do you look at and say, this is interesting. You know, they're doing things that we're not doing. Do you pay attention to that stuff?
None, really. We were actually talking about that the other day when we were driving to pick up the couch for this. The three of us were in a U-Haul just kind of talking about what we look at nowadays. I have on my old computer, I had so many bookmarks and so many sites. I just use Twitter now.
Right.
And there's really nothing that...
I got to be honest. I don't physically type in Barstool Sports anymore. I follow you guys on Twitter, and I follow... So I go like everybody else, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure your traffic numbers are great, but I don't go there. Like, there's almost no sites anymore where I type in the physical URL. It's all Twitter.
Yeah, no, 100%. Right? And then even on Barstool... I'll tweet
the app or whatever.
My best stories, like because there are plenty of stories you put up because you have to reach a quota per day.
Right.
So like, when I do what I'm proud of and I want people to read, I'll tweet that one. And so you don't have to read all the other kind of
Wedding Crasher 2 stuff.
Wedding Crasher 2 stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Just something for a 9:30 a.m.
You gotta do it. Yeah. You gotta do it. You like Carrabas?
I like Carrabas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrabas cracks me up. He's a funny guy. We were talking about him the other day too. Because
he has very little hands. Have you noticed
does
that?
Does he? Yeah, well, I do too, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, you kind of do it.
Yeah, I got fat ass fingers, man.
Those are weird hands.
I got the weirdest hands.
What happened?
I don't know. I think I blame myself. Like, I used to crack them all the time when I was a kid.
Right.
I think that's what it is, but I got fucking shitty hands.
Jesus. It's off putting now. Why did you tell me that? It's going to fuck me up the rest of the interview.
Carrabas is funny. Carrabas cracks me up because he's always referencing old shit, like when Porcello just won the Cy Young.
Yeah, he's so proud of himself.
He's like, called it in April. Right. It's like, you sarcastically called it after his first start,
no,
dude.
He's so proud of himself. They feel like saying, well, what kind of year did you think Price was going to have? Didn't you pick him to win 25 games?
Yeah, yeah. He called the Cubs winning the World Series, which was... I mean, really going out,
pick.
Going out on a limb there.
It's like me picking the Patriots to win the division. How about you happy Thornton's coming back?
I am, yeah.
He's an original.
He is, and it's been – Thornton's great, and it's been hard as fuck to cover the Patriots because I don't know football like Jerry knows football.
Right.
And people would just bitch and fucking moan for 2 years straight now where it's like Patriots coverage, and it's like sucks, blah, blah, blah. And it'll be up to be me and Portnoy who are – fanboys, the like total fanboys.
Well, so is Thornton.
Yeah, but Thornton at least has knowledge of the game.
Right.
And I played a little bit in high school, but I didn't even play. So it was like, I don't really know much about football.
Yeah.
So I could never write like technically like he can. And when he comes in with his knee jerks, those are always, I mean, they're huge. They're,
right.
It's a huge weight off my shoulders to have him.
Why didn't you ever take over the responsibility of the teacher sex scandals?
That's a Jerry thing.
You just retired it when
you
left.
Yeah,
he earned that.
Yeah, definitely.
He had done enough profiles of women who had raped boys over the years.
Yeah.
He deserved to keep that crown while he was gone.
Exactly.
He told me last week he's bringing it back, though.
He is.
It will be back, which is a good thing for the site.
Yeah, right? I listened to that podcast, so I did know it was coming back.
See, there you go. You got to pay attention. Any other young guys on Barstool right now that I don't know about who are doing a good job? No women.
Oh, dude, women are like our Patriots writer. It's like we want one so bad.
I know
bad.
You guys just brought in this porn star.
Asakira.
Yes,
she's
double penetration winner, Portnoy told me, AVN 2 years ago.
She is awesome. She's great. She's really fucking
what
funny.
What is her role?
She's going to do...
podcast?
She's going to do a podcast, yep. She's going to be doing a little writing, too. She's written two books.
Yep.
Which I actually have started reading one now, her first one, Insatiable, which is... It's a fucking trip. But She's an extraordinarily interesting person. So I think she's going to bring a lot to the table.
But there's never been a woman on the staff.
There was Jenna Marbles way back in the day.
Oh, that's right. She is a long time ago.
And that's kind of what Dave's been chasing for years now. Like, that's his white whale, like another Jenna Marbles, which he can't seem to locate. We've hired girls who just kind of don't work out.
You know, he mentioned it today. I agree with him. I think she can be funny. I don't think she's funny the way she's doing it right now. But Katie Nolan, I think, if she was working with you guys and was unleashed or whatever you want to call it, the shackles were off, yeah, she'd be good.
I think Katie's awesome.
Do you think her show's funny on Fox Sports or Fox FS1?
I don't watch it at midnight. I follow Garbage Time on Twitter, so I see they tweet out a lot of the clips.
Yeah.
I think some are better than others. I think some of them are pretty funny. Yeah. And then I think some are... I think she would be better if she wasn't on a network TV and whatnot.
You guys have no restrictions, no rules at all.
Nothing.
You're bought by a company. You're owned by them. And you can say, nobody's ever said to you, don't say this, don't do that, ever, not once.
Not the total opposite.
So what happens when Turnin's that
come in and been like, he's like, make noise.
Right.
That's what he cares about. Make noise. Say whatever the fuck you want. He doesn't give a shit.
Now, what happens if there's a Brady baby dick moment again? What happens then? As an example.
That I don't know.
Because it's going to happen.
Was one, even when I was like, I think I was like 20, I was probably 21 when that happened. And that was one where even I saw that and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's going to end up bad.
I said the porno, I wouldn't have done it, but I didn't. I mean, like, they kicked him off EEI and it was all that. It was dumb.
I'm the same exact sense. I definitely wouldn't have posted it, right. But I thought people went a little
Porno's pretty fearless, though. I got to give him credit for that. It seems to me like it's not an act. He legitimately doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks.
It's not an act, and it's not really doesn't give a shit. It's just that he's in his head, he's always right. So I guess, yeah, he doesn't care about your opinion because his one is the right one. He's got a tough... A thick skull, I guess we'll call it. He's very stubborn.
Well, when has he been wrong the last couple of years? Are you like, this is fucking stupid?
He's wrong about Saturdays for the Boys. Took a month to convince him to make those T-shirts. He thought it was stupid. No one really cares.
Well, they're stupid.
It's stupid.
People care.
But I was like, right. You don't understand. Like, I'm getting hundreds of tweets a day being like, we need T-shirts. Like, we should make T-shirts.
Right.
And he's like,
was that your idea, or did you get that from people tweeting at you?
It was dumb. People like just kind of following the trend. Like,
right.
The first time someone tweeted like, we should make T-shirts, I was like, ah, fuck it, let's make T-shirts. Who gives? Right. We'll sell 100 of them. We'll see what happens.
Right.
And then the more and more it came, it ended up being, I think it took 3 weeks to convince Portnoy to make T-shirts.
Now, are you at the point where it doesn't seem like you're that shrewd? Do you actually get a salary? Have you figured out that you should get paid for your job? Because it seems like, you know, you've done nothing. Do you work for free? Do you pay them?
I have a salary.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Stock options?
Nope.
Will they go public? Are they not publicly traded yet, right?
No. God, no.
Well, you think you guys will be eventually or no?
I think that's the goal eventually, right, is to be something that would be publicly traded. I don't know.
And you'll get no stock options out of that.
Nope.
You'll be the last guy. Everyone else will have them.
Yeah.
Rear Admiral will have them. Yeah. You'll be sitting there with nothing.
I love Rear Admiral. Rear Admiral should get him. He's been there for a while.
He struggles a little bit in the radio, though.
He's
not one of the great speakers.
I haven't listened to it, so I can't really speak to that. But
I think he's a janitor.
I don't know what he does.
For a job, I think he believes in a custodial, works in the custodial arts, I think.
I have no idea what he does. But he cracks it. We had him on KSC Radio once a long time ago. And
he was good? Fucking,
yeah, he was funny as shit on that. But
so you do one a week?
One a week.
You have celebrity guests?
No, we used to. We tried that, and it just didn't really work.
Yeah.
It kind of like fucked with the chemistry and all that. Because we tried it for 4 years. We've been doing it. So we were on I'm from Boston. Mm-hmm. KFC was in New York. Dan was in Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
So we were always doing it through Skype, and then a fourth in on Skype is
just doesn't work.
Real tough to manage.
But you're all in New York now?
All in New York, yeah. So we do it all in the room.
So the three of you will be there tomorrow. At the next couple of nights, you'll be there live doing your thing.
Correct.
On the couch. Is it gonna be like a wild scene if I'm there? Is it like crazy? Yeah. Like, you know,
it was last year.
Girls with their tops off, that kind of thing.
not like that, but when we were at the Caroline's, which is a bar.
Yeah,
they drank Caroline's out of all their beer before the first set was over, before the first show was over.
Jesus Christ.
So they get loud. And then the second show was fucking chaotic.
But you're only doing one show a night at this thing.
One show a night.
And then you're going to run them on you're going to run them once a podcast available.
That's a good question.
Are you going to do that or no? Is it just for the...
I think it's going to be a video. I don't know if we're even going to put it on a podcast. It might just be a video that we just put up on the site. Like we have a camera crew who's going to be there tonight filming it. And it might just go up on the site.
Do you get the sense? I asked Portnoy this today, and he didn't give a great answer. Do you get the sense a year later that it really matters that you're in New York?
Yes.
It does matter.
Very much so.
How come?
I think it's just the chemistry that we have now is just much better.
What if you were all in Boston, though? Would it matter?
Oh, you mean like if, as long as everyone was together.
Right, physically, Portnoy moved from Boston to New York, and he told me a year ago on this podcast that he had to do that because of access to celebrities and this and that. And I said to him today, a year later, do you still feel that way? He said, I'm not sure.
That's a good question. We've had a lot of celebrities pop in, but...
But do they really help?
Yeah, it's content and things like that.
Right.
But it's not to say that if we were all in Boston. I think they're coming to Barstool HQ because a lot of the guys are like hockey players or athletes just in town.
Sure.
So they're coming to Boston too at
right.
some point.
Right.
I think had everyone been together in a nice office in Boston, we'd still get the same amount of action rather than this fucking dentist office that we
right.
used to work in the mill.
Right. I very rarely see Barstool people in the same room. So when I saw you and Thornton and Portnoy in the office before, it was interesting to watch. And I wonder if you guys are like any other company, which is you guys bitch about the boss when the boss isn't around.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like legit, like shit on Portnoy. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Fuck this guy. I hate this fucking asshole.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And everybody's on board with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone is.
Yeah. Is Portnoy aware of that?
Yes. Yeah.
He said.
I forget what they were talking about. There was a story recently about someone's leaked text messages, and they're talking about their boss. And he's like, if I could read my fucking employee's text message, I'm sure they fucking bitch about me. So he's accurate on that. For
well,
sure.
That's every company though, right? I mean,
yeah.
Anywhere you work in America, people gossip about their boss. But I wonder because Barstool seems like it's not a real job, but I guess it's a real job.
It is a real job. Yeah. It's,
what do you tell people you do for a living? If you just meet somebody, if you go out, I don't know, are you single or not?
Single. Yes.
Okay. Do you go on dates or?
No. Not maybe really. Not in New York. We're fucking New York has been New York. I'm still getting used to it. So New York, no.
Well, are you on these apps? These apps you guys use?
No, I'm not on them because here's the thing with that, right? We have our interns on those, and
we'll see you on it.
No, we'll get tweeted our interns like say one of our interns gets a girl,
yeah,
has a conversation with her, and then like she'll tell a guy, and then like the people will tweet it, and like with their interns, we don't really give a fuck about it.
Sure,
but I wouldn't want my text game. To be out there,
yeah,
like
but
that.
It's. I mean, all due respect, it's not like you're, you know, Scott Pelley or like a news person.
No.
Feidelberg from Barstool.
No, I wouldn't be
professionally offended.
I'd be mortified if you take any text message conversation.
Oh, of course,
you look fucking like an. I'm not worried about like just people like thinking I'm like knowing I'm like talking to girls. I'm just worried about looking like a dickhead with a shitty game.
Well, how do you then meet women?
Bars generally at about 2 a.m.
Okay, and when they say to you, you know, what's your name? And you say, you don't say Feidelberg, do you?
No, I say John.
John. And they say, what do you do? What do you say? What's your job?
I usually start with, I'm usually like a writer for a men's website.
Okay.
Which fucking gets confusing real quick.
I'm already confused. Yeah. Like, what do you mean a men's website?
We say men's interest website, I think is how we call it.
Men's interest website.
I think that's how we describe it to like advertisers and whatnot.
Really?
So that's,
but most people know Barstool. Now anyway, right? Or most guys, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I'd probably, if it was, I'm trying to think now. I guess if I was talking to a girl my age, I'd probably say Barstool Sports. And then if she asked, what is that? I'd say it's a men's interest website. We talk about what you talk about on
right.
Barstool with your friends
right,
to
right,
give
right.
that fucking
right.
elevator pitch.
We, you know, we were able to tell, obviously, we have, I think our show is 86% male. You guys must know what your breakdown is.
Yeah.
I guess it's more women than you would think.
Absolutely more women than you think. I don't know exactly what it is. I would say it's about 65-35.
Oh, even that's more than I would have
that's
thought. I would have said
right
75-25.
75-25.
Well, I don't know. You know, not me.
Yeah, no, I'd say it's about 65-35, give or take.
Yeah. And the average age is what?
I'm going to say 24.
That's unbelievable.
These are guesses. These
well,
are loose.
I know, but
guesses.
You have some idea. That's
yeah.
unbelievable. It doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah, it's
for
pretty,
an advertiser, that's sort of wild,
it's,
right?
Yeah, when we show advertisers our numbers, they're usually pretty.
Now, are you ever part of that pitch to an advertiser or anything? Or?
Yeah, on occasion. Depending on the advertising and what we plan
who
to do.
Who sponsors your
them.
Podcast?
It's Podcast One, so it's like
oh,
we always
okay,
have
so.
Like all kinds of shit going
do you,
on.
Do you guys must have a lot of, because I get some of this, you must have some backlash from potential advertisers, though.
Not really.
From Barstool at all, no?
No.
Really?
No, they're
I guess you know what you're getting into, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we rarely get backlash anymore, and we used to way back in the day, but it's gotten to the point where we... Advertisers get such a return with us that they really
no,
don't care.
No, it's crazy. The loyalty is unfucking believable.
They, and we really wear it too. Like I'm wearing Mott & Bow jeans right now, so we say Mott & Bow. People go out and they fucking buy them and
wearing
they love
what?
It. Mott & Bow jeans.
Well, what does that mean?
This isn't even supposed to be a pitch, but it's a pitch. They're just comfy-ass jeans, man.
Yes, Portnoy told me that he calls you Lady Fi, as I know, Lady Feidelberg, because he thinks you dress like a woman.
Yeah.
Correct?
He does.
So you said you're European in your dress.
I think I look looking pretty American today.
I don't know what that shirt is, though. There's a lot going
on there. It's a corduroy shirt.
You should wear gloves all the time to cover your hands.
Right, I should. I fucking should.
That would be a good, you could get a good endorsement for that.
Yeah, the gloves are tough. Hands are tough.
It would be a classy look. Well, things are going wild for you, and that's great. Listen, I've been a Barstool guy forever. I wish I had incorporated with Barstool more over the years. I think it's a real fuck-up. I don't understand. I said to Portnoy today, FS1 should give you guys an hour and just say, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Do what you want. It's yours for an hour. Late night, obviously. Late night Barstool show and see what happens. You guys have no TV stuff coming up? Nothing?
Nothing coming. I mean, definitely aspirations for it. But,
sure, but I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
Nothing in the works right now, no.
No radio?
No radio that I know of. It's still, I guess that side of media is still a little scared of us. The advertisers have 100% come around. And I think once at least one form of, I guess, old-fashioned media.
Is there part of you guys that say, fuck it, we don't even care about TV and radio anymore? It's all changing or no?
No. I think we grew up with TV. It's still, the goal is to be on TV. You know, that's right. Where we really made it.
Right.
So I think that's still something we hope for.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's I'm not gonna promote it all because you're gonna be there, but you don't know what's on the horizon. You don't know what you're doing for the next couple of months. You have nothing to promote here.
I'm just here to talk to you, man.
Any questions for me? Any what ifs? What is it? Would you rather?
Would you rather? No.
My hands?
I'm so bad. Would you? I forget what it was. This is an old one. Would you rather have? All right. Here's one for you.
Sure.
If you were given 15 years and all the supplies you needed, could you get to Europe in a boat?
15 years.
Yeah.
All the supplies I needed. Could I get to Europe from here, from Boston, in a boat? Yeah. No fucking chance. Okay, could you?
No, I said no too, but Big Cat, who is our resident Iraq.
What kind of boat?
You build whatever you want, whatever you think you can build.
But it's up to me to build it.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't build a boat.
Thank you.
Could you?
That's no, fuck no.
I could never do that.
Big Cat.
And then directionally get to your... These people say they sail all around the world. I'm like, how is that fucking possible? How do you know which way you're going?
No idea.
Like a compass wouldn't help me. I wouldn't even know. I don't know what's east or west from here. Like, I don't know if you're east or west of me right now.
No clue. And that's what sucks in New York, too, because when you get off a subway, it's like southeast side of Fifth Avenue. I'm like, where the fuck is the southeast side? How am I supposed to? I'm not a compass.
New York is wild because you can get in the wrong. If you're on the wrong side of one of the, it's like 10 miles away.
Yeah.
I went to school in New York. I went to Fordham.
Oh, okay.
I feel suffocated in that city. I'm a New York City guy.
I actually, when I first lived there, you know, 6-7 years ago, I felt that exact same way. I've liked it more this time
around. Where do you live now?
I live on 35th and Lex, which I think is Murray Hill, technically, which is like the fucking real frat area, which I'm not crazy about.
Kind of a young area, right?
Yeah.
Are you looking to get out?
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the year, definitely. This was kind of just ease our way into it. Because I live with two of the guys I work with now, too. So it's kind of like the two guys from Boston.
Right.
So it's a starter house. I guess it's our New York starter house.
Right. Where's the office?
It's 27th and Broadway.
Oh, so you're right. I mean, you're essentially right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I don't have time to listen to your podcast on the way.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, listen to this one. Feidelberg, I don't know what he's doing next. I know he'll be making no money because he's fucking the worst business person I've ever interviewed in my life. I'm actually worried about you.
Thank you.
I don't know what's going to end.
I'm going to tell you what. You've opened some eyes here, and you're going to be at the negotiation table.
Do you think you're going to be the guy who takes over when Portnoy finally leaves? Are you next in line? If Portnoy died today, who takes over?
No. If Portnoy died today, it would be like a combination of KFC and Big Cat.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Where would you move up, or would you still be?
There's really not a move up. There's really no ladder. It's pretty much Portnoy and then the rest of us.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would those guys?
I mean, there's no chain of command.
So why do you assume those guys would take over then?
Well, because you know who's more important to the company, but there's no like formal chain of command aside from
who's
Portnoy.
Below you.
I don't know.
Well, you said you know the chain of command. Who's below you? You said he was above you. Why aren't you comfortable saying he's below you? Is Jared Carabas below you?
Carabas would be below me. Yeah,
he's below me.
Yes.
Below me. Below you. Rear admiral.
Rear admiral. Would be, yeah, all the guys who are just strictly sports guys. Yeah, they would be below me. Yeah,
right.
For sure.
So you're where, like fourth or fifth?
I would say that's a fair spot to put me, yeah.
Where were you a couple of years ago? Not fourth or fifth. So you're moving up. You're slowly moving up.
Well, a few years ago it was fourth or fifth because that was all that was left.
Are you ahead of Thornton, who has seniority but hasn't been around?
Yeah, because he's also strictly a sports guy.
He's also in Boston.
Well, actually, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's doing the sex teacher stuff. That's do you have anything as valuable as that you're going to do every day?
Still got Saturdays for the boys.
Saturdays for the boys. All right, thanks, Feidelberg.
Thank you, Kirk.
All right, thanks again for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm really not thankful at all. You should be thanking me. You get this shit every week, these great podcasts, totally free. Do me a favor. Would you go to iTunes, download it, go to Stitcher, do the same, and leave a rating, leave a review. That's where you can help me out. This podcast is going to be number one again. I guarantee it. And you're going to help me along with the process. So for that, I guess at the end, maybe I will thank you. There's a lot of thank yous going back and forth. Here's the point. Fuck you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.